Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we will take a fairly deep look at our gospel text, John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. It is a well-known passage. We all know about doubting Thomas, and I've gone back and forth on this. Thomas is one of those people that you say, well, you know, shame on Thomas. On some level, he should have known better, right? Just like everybody else should have known better. Another side of things, people say, well, let's not call him doubting Thomas anymore, because at the end, he wasn't doubting anymore, right? I guess what I want to focus on a little bit more today is the fact that the church in the hundreds and hundreds of years that they've developed the lectionary, that for some reason they decided that this should be the text we get for the Sunday after the great Sunday of the resurrection of Christ. And I don't know if like the Holy Spirit had something in mind or that we needed to keep this in mind. I don't know if they had a problem back in the 700s or so that, you know, people only showed up on Easter and then weeks later they kind of trickled out and kind of stopped coming a little bit. It's the elephant in the room. I mean, I'm very glad that everybody that's here today is here today, just like I'm very glad that most of the disciples were gathered together in the room, although it was locked for fear of the Jews, that the disciples, at least they were gathered together, right? But that's something that I really want to capitalize on today, that even though the majority of the disciples were gathered there, there was somebody that was missing. Obviously, he was missing. Thomas was not there. And it's something very comforting when you see that Jesus comes to his followers, those who trusted in him. They are gathered together, and even though they are cowering in fear, not of God, but of the world that's outside there, he still comes to them and says, "Peace be with you." And then he says, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Right? "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." That Jesus, when he comes to his followers, he comes and he breathes on them. That is, that he doesn't like blow on them, but as he's talking, he's breathing on them. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, you now have the authority to forgive the sins of whoever that might be. This is formally the commissioning of the apostles to go and to hear sins, to hear the confession of sins, and to pronounce the absolution. But broadly speaking, all Christians can forgive sins, you know, in that if someone has been sinned against, they can go to them and say, "I forgive you," right? And it's very interesting, you see that the disciples, as soon as they hear this, where do they go? We don't know how long after it was when Jesus came to them that they found Thomas, but they go to Thomas, right? And they go to him and they said, "We have seen the Lord." And with this, that means that the Lord is there. The Lord has given us peace and we want you there too. Right? In some sense, They're forgiving him for not being there, right? He owes something to them. He deserted them, right? He needed to be there. And so we see in this text that the disciples do what needs to be done in going to the one that needs to be present. And Thomas represents those who are not here today, who are not gathered with God's saints wherever that might be. Those Thomases that once have heard God's word but now doubt and stay away. Those are the ones that we disciples who are gathered together today should go out and find and say, we have seen the Lord. Christ has come to us today. He comes to us week in and week out. He comes to us and he pronounces peace, the forgiveness of sins. He comes to us and, like the disciples here, he comes and he shows us his hands and his side. And when he says peace, it's not just a be calm, everything's okay. When he shows his hands, he says, this is where peace is found, in the hands of Christ that have been nailed to the cross, in the side of Christ where the blood and the water has poured out for you to show that you are forgiven. We come and we gather, and Christ comes to us and says, peace be to you. Your sins are forgiven. Whatever has come before today, they are washed away. It is finished. And now, if we go to the Thomases that are not here, we might get some pushback, like the disciples got. We might get something so audacious as what Thomas said, unless I see his hands and the mark of the nails and put my finger to the mark of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will never believe. The response of the disciples to Thomas is not recorded. But if it is in keeping with John's gospel, where Philip and where the account of the account of Philip and Nathanael is concerned, where one follower of Christ goes to a skeptic, and when he says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And he says, come and see. It's not out of line that the disciples said to Thomas, come and see. Be with us like you were once before, right? Like you were once before. Come and join us, and the Lord will come too. So, after about a week, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas was there. And Jesus came, though the doors were shut, and he stood in the midst of them and said, peace to you. And then he goes directly to Thomas, right? And he says, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it to my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing, right? And Thomas, filled with the peace and the joy that flows forth from it, says, almost losing himself, my Lord and my God. And Jesus says, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have and yet have believed. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are gathered here today because we know that the Lord is here. We know that Christ comes and he speaks peace to us. And when I talk about the Thomases out there, I want to be clear about something, because I know that there's going to be objections, right? Well, Pastor, what about so-and-so? Or what about this person over here? What about those in the hospital? What about those that are homebound? What about those that can't quite make it here? That's not who I'm talking about, right? That's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people that sadly, that we all know through our lives, that once have been baptized and raised and confirmed in the church, and they have gathered here or with God's saints, and now for whatever reason, they don't, right? They don't. It's very interesting that where Thomas is, Scripture doesn't say. It doesn't say where Thomas was during the whole time, right? It doesn't say, oh, well, he was sick or he was out. I think I heard something like, saw a dramatization one time of this guy who was playing Thomas, and he was like, I was with my twin. We were on the Mount of Olives. Like, who knows, right? Who knows where Thomas was? It's safe to say, though, that he was probably trying to avoid the disappointment that he felt, right? Because he had followed Jesus. He had thought that he was going to be the one. And then he was the one, he was one of the ones who saw that he didn't quite seem to be who they thought that he was. He was one of the ones that saw that Jesus didn't defend himself and went to the cross and died. And so he was probably trying to avoid the disappointment that comes from that, just like the rest of them. And yet, none of that really matters because he should have been with his brothers in the faith. And some people will say, well, Pastor, we can't guilt people into coming to church. I don't know. That's one of those things you go, if you go to somebody and you say, listen, you've been to church before. We love having you. We miss you. And you know what? We miss you because we need you, right? We need you in church with us. That's what they need to hear. We need you. We need your presence. We need your prayers. We need you next to us. That's what they need to hear. Because they are missed because we want them here, right? We want them here. We want them to know God's peace. We want them to know the joy that comes from hearing Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Stay on your toes, folks. Really, though, they need to hear these things. We all need to hear these things. We all need to be the ones that hear the things that are written in God's word so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we would have life through his name. We need to hear these things. Everybody needs to hear these things. The ones who have heard it and for some reason are not here, they need to come back and keep hearing it over and over and over again, just like we do, right? We are not special. We are fallen, sinful creatures. We need to hear about Christ crucified for our sins and risen for our justification. And sadly, the more that we are gone from hearing that proclamation, from being given the gifts of God, the more that we stay away, the more stubborn we become, the more obstinate we become. And no doubt, those who have been gone for years, not just weeks or months, but years, it may take some time to say, come and see, come and see, come join us, please come back. It may take some time, but that is a blessed work. That is a good work to be done because they need to know. And we don't want to let them get to a point where they're so stubborn against God and saying, I'll never believe, I won't believe, unless this happens, I won't believe. So much so to where they would just say, I don't even give God a thought at all, right? That happens. People get so far gone and push so far against God, they wind up saying, I don't even give it a thought. So I would pray that we would be ones who would give them the thought to say, we miss you. We need you. And if you want to be bold, you can say, we pray for you and you owe us that much too, right? You owe us your prayers because we pray for you too. Not a tit for tat sort of thing, but we need it. We need the bolstering. We need the fellowship. We need to be together. Because who knows if Thomas being gone that night, who knows if that was the reason why the doors were locked? I've never been on a battlefield. I've never been through a firefight or anything like that, but I have heard stories that in wartime, if one man runs, everybody else's heart drops. One man's cowardice in running away can cause the whole company to falter, right? And we try not to do that, but it is disheartening when the church just seems on the outside to just be shrinking more and more and more, and our hearts get lower and lower and lower with everyone that doesn't come back, right? So we need to bolster ourselves and bolster those who should be here and reminding them why it is that we gather. We gather because God does come to us. Jesus Christ comes to us here, especially when we partake of his body and his blood. We behold him. He says, come and see. Put your hands here. Take, eat, take, drink the body and blood of Christ. Right? He comes. He gives us his peace. He gives us his joy. And then when we have that joy, really, this is an honest question. It's not just rhetorical. What can stop us? I want you to think about that. When we have the peace that surpasses all understanding, when we have the joy that God gives, because the disciples, when they see Jesus, they are glad. It's really more like that they are joyful. They rejoice that the Lord is there. They forget themselves. And we'll talk about that in a couple weeks when the gospel text talks more about that. But the sense of joy that God gives through Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins, it's a loss of self. You're outside of yourself. Thomas felt it because when Jesus said, put your hands here and don't disbelieve, but believe. The rational thing would have been for Thomas to say, Lord, I do believe. But no, he's not thinking clearly. He's just so full of joy, he blurts out, my Lord and my God. That's the joy that we have. That's the joy that God gives. And that's the joy that gives us the strength to go out there and have those hard talks with people, even when it's just in a spirit of saying, we miss you. We love you. We want to see you come back, right? So, brothers and sisters in Christ, we need those Thomases out there. They need us. We all need Christ. The word of God is powerful. And please don't think that it's too good to be true to just say, come and see. It worked in Scripture. It can work for us, right? It may not work all the time, but the times that it does work, thanks be to God. But the word of God is powerful. It does what it sets out to accomplish. So with this knowledge, knowing that God gives you peace and joy, go in that peace and joy to tell those Thomases, we have seen the Lord, and we want you to come and see too. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.